And for us today, we are going to be looking at how life works with Jesus in regards to rest. So if you'd all just like to get comfortable, and then we will do that. If you want, we'll eventually get to Mark chapter 4, if you want to turn there. I'll get there eventually. And this has been a challenge to me because I'm not very good at this. So I'm preaching to myself just as much as anyone else, as usual. And so today I'm going to talk about rest. I'm going to be talking about the idea of the concept of Sabbath, not necessarily Sabbath per se as in a day, but the idea behind Sabbath. So I'm not really talking about Sunday or Saturday or whatever you want to define it as, but I'm talking about the idea of resting from activity, of resting from work, and sort of the principle behind Sabbath, because I think if you haven't got the principles, you'll never achieve a true Sabbath day, if you haven't got the idea of what it's all about. I read a quote as I was reading into this, which says, slaves can't take a day off, free people can. And I was challenged by that because sometimes I feel there's so much to do, I can't take a day off, you know? So what does that say about my life? So I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about rest today with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, rest in this culture is quite hard, isn't it? Many of us may be workaholics. We have busy diaries. Multitasking is a virtue nowadays, isn't it? To be able to text and cook and talk to the children. Tell the children off. And also sort of, you know, do some exercise or something. We sort of think that's a virtue. We talk about time management and we talk about a good use of time. We talk about saving time as if you can put it in your pocket and keep it for later. We worry about all kinds of problems. We have anxiety about not only our problems, but our neighbours' problems and our family's problems and our, you know, goodness knows what else, there's stress. It's a frenetic world, isn't it? Fast-paced, energetic, slightly out of control. You ever sort of feel like your life is sort of like you're driving around a corner, but you're just about to lose grip, you know, sometimes. It just feels a bit like that. And people ask, how are you? Oftentimes my answer is busy. And it's almost as if busy is the thing to say, because if you're not busy, then there's something wrong with you. You know, it's like, what, you're not busy? You know, what are you doing with your life if you're not busy? It's quite strange if you're not busy. And then when we take our time off, we talk about days off or breaks, but actually what we often do with our time off and breaks, what do? Get the jobs done, yeah, fill them up with all kinds of activities, catching up, yeah, whatever it is. And our days off are very busy, and because we have to make good use of them, because we don't have much time off, so we've got to make good use of this time off. So it's relentless, isn't it? It's unceasing, 24/7. I found a website in America, which is of course, which is advocating sort of the Sabbath day, and they call it 24/6. I thought that's quite nice. But we're actually 24/7, aren't we? And it's rapid and it's incessant. But I hope, and I do believe, that Jesus offers something better. Rest. He said, doesn't he? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that's good news. God has made a time for rest. And I think there's a difference between a day off or a break and a Jesus Sabbath type rest. See, a break or a day off or is just like a gap in work. Like, I've got this to do, and I've got this to do, and I'll fit something called a day off in between, but I know actually on my day off that I've got to get back to work the next day. You know, I mean, that's a reality. And I'm talking about concepts really more than anything else. But we think of a rest as a necessary interruption in our work so that we can carry on. You know, you go to sleep at night so that you can get up in the next morning just to get back to the grind, yeah? But the rest that Jesus offers is something that has its own merit, that has its own purpose. It's a thing in itself. It's a Sabbath-style rest where we would say, it is finished to our work. It is finished. And that kind of rest has no focus or connection with anything else surrounding it. And I was reading, there's a writer called Marva Dorn, and she says that on Sabbath, I am deliberately unproductive. Unproductive. Deliberately unproductive. And that's the kind of rest that Jesus welcomes us into. And but the thing is, I think most of us struggle to live in that, don't we? Uh-huh. Already now we're getting stressed and thinking, this is hard work. It's hard work to rest. So if you think about the gospel, as humans, we're predisposed, aren't we, to justify ourselves by our work. It's just something that is in us. That there's something in us we want to prove ourselves by our activity. We are what we do. I'm a good person, and the way I show I'm a good person is I do good things. Is how people go about their lives. I was talking to a neighbor not so long ago, and there was genuine worry on her face as she said, I hope I'm good enough. And she was talking about sort of doing things for charity and all this kind of thing. And I was thinking, okay. And I'll be more bold now, but I was a little bit taken aback at how anxious this lady was in saying that. And that, you know, this idea we have to work to make ourselves good. And you know, I hope, that there's that age-old question, well, when are we good enough? How many old ladies do we have to help across the road? How many, you know, how many good deeds do we have to do and for the person next door? How many times have we got to be nice to people that we need to be nice to before God says, yeah, you're good enough? And if we live like that, we'll be continually anxious, won't we? Continually insecure, because have I done enough? And so then we continue to work to make ourselves better. And there is a common misconception of Christianity, and we need to be aware of this. And that's why I was taken on the back foot when this lady said this to me a while back, because I thought, goodness, you really have not got Christianity at all, have you? But the common misconception about Christianity is that we follow Jesus' commands in order to make us good enough to get into heaven. That's what people think Christianity is. And I hope you realize that is a complete opposite of what Christianity is, because actually it's all about Jesus has done the work to make us right so that we can be with him. It's turned, the whole thing's turned on its head. I mean, that must be a lie of the enemy or something, because where's that come from? That the world has turned around the gospel, the good news, that the work has been done for us, and we just enter into his rest, but actually it turns it around and you have to follow these things and be a good person, and then maybe you'll get in. That's just any other religion. But the gospel is good news. The requirements of the law, the work requirements of the law have been done. He has made us good enough. And the starting point for our lives when it comes to rest is to live in the statement that Jesus made on the cross, which is, it is finished. And we receive that grace through faith, and we enter into God's rest. And that rest is that ceasing to strive to work to make ourselves right. So the idea of Sabbath and the idea of Sabbath rest is the idea of an end of work. It's a gospel thing. Good, isn't it? And so when that permeates our lives in a spiritual sense, when we get that idea in our heads, when we understand what the gospel is, then we stop trying to justify ourselves and we enter into his rest. And that hopefully then plays out into our lives, in our daily lives, where we'll find times when we can just stop and say, it is finished, work is done, and I can rest. And that rhythm of Sabbath in our lives speaks of that trusting in God and saying, I'm going to trust in God that he has done it and I don't need it. Now, if you go back to creation, you know, I mean, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. And I was just thinking about this. What does he mean by that? And the idea is that the Sabbath serves us rather than we the other way around. Because the Pharisees, as you know, at that time, we make it hard for ourselves, but they made it hard for them as well. This is how you rest. And then they made a whole load of rules on how you rest. And that kind of defeats the object. It's interesting, isn't it? How all these good things that God gives us, but then somehow they get twisted and turned the wrong way around, and then we end up in a right pickle because we're doing things just the wrong way around. But the idea of Sabbath rest was made for man, and it was there from the very beginning. And I don't know how you think about creation. You know the creation story, right? That God made everything in how many days did God create? Oh, we've got two numbers here. Some are saying six, some are saying seven. Well, here's an interesting debate. Let's see. Okay, Wendy said seven. Stick with it, Wendy. Okay, we'll just go with this. All right? So you know the story. In days 1 to 6, God is busy doing stuff. So he's making the heavens and the earth and the light and the creatures and the all that stuff. And on day 6, he makes mankind, and he stops and he takes a breath and he says, it is not just good, but very good. Yeah. And so we often think that day 6 is the pinnacle of creation because we're here. And he says, we're very good, and da-da, it's all done now. And then God takes a day off, and it's almost like he flops in the armchair and gets the remote out, sort of clicks on and says, right, I'm just going to watch it all unfold now. They're even playing rugby. They've learned how to play rugby. So now on a Sunday afternoon, I can sit back, says God, from heaven, and watch even New Zealand play, because they're obviously who you'd all, yeah. Not New Zealand. England, surely, or maybe even South. Wales? Okay, let's not go there. But let me tell you something. As well as watch the rugby and sitting in his armchair, on day 7, God did do something, actually. He blessed the day and made it holy. So, he wasn't there with his Meccano set in a kind of creation sense and making stuff. But he did do something in that he, on this day where he stopped working and creating, he actually blessed the day and made it holy. So he actually did do something on day 7.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Well, he didn't make a thing, but he made a time. And that's possibly part of our problem. Because we like to make things, and we like to do things, and we like to sort of say at the end of it, look what I've got. I've done this. I remember Nick Lugg when the pastor before here, never met him. He would say, sometimes I find at the end of my day that I need to justify myself by like printing off a whole load of papers as if to say, this is what I've achieved today. You know, I've written this much of a sermon, or I've done this many emails, or I've spoken to this many people, and it's all documented, and I've got at least something to show for it. Because actually, sometimes the pastoral life, you get to the end of the day and you think, what have I done? I've got nothing to show for it, you know? Because it's sometimes very intangible. Whereas if you're, you know, you're making bolts or something in a factory, or you're doing some sort of teaching, you can at least say, I've taught a lesson and I've done this, and this is what I've got to show for it. But we like to do things, so our creation is, I've got this, and here it is. But actually, on the 7th day, he didn't make a thing. He didn't make a unicorn or a elephant or something, you know. He just made a time. And he made that time and set it apart. Because actually, if he didn't do that, then we would be just a 6-day week, and we would be spinning around in 6 days. And so actually he made a time of work-free, restful, pure, unproductive space. Unproductive space. Nothing happened. Nothing to show for it. Just there. And that happened just after mankind was made. Go back to day 6, that's when mankind arrived. And then on day 7, then we get rest. So the Sabbath was made for man. And it's a blessed and a holy time, a rest made for man. And it isn't just a break from work. It's actually when God says, done. Job's finished. We can sit down and do that. And so Sabbath rest, that Sabbath-style rest, is ingrained into the very fabric of time and space. If we believe these things as true in the creation story, then we need to understand that this is how the universe works, or is designed to work anyway. And when we continue to work, 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 or when we continue to keep going, keep going, keep going, we're going against the grain of how God made everything. Rest is part of how the universe was designed. Not a thing, but a space, a time. And so when we rest, we're entering into a holy and blessed time and space with God. Now, I did say we'd look at Mark chapter 4. Let's do that. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And you may think, where's he going with this? But it's about Jesus calming the storm. I'll read that to you from Mark 4, verse 35. Says, that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now this is a story that's almost comical from our perspective, isn't it? It's just one of those things where you think, wow, that's pretty far out, you know. It would be maybe slightly funny for us to consider from this perspective, but from the disciples' perspective, I'm guessing they were utterly, utterly freaked out, because these were seasoned sailors. These weren't just like you and I getting on a boat thinking I'm feeling a bit queasy because it's a bit bobby uppy downy. These were people that lived pretty much on these boats. And so when this storm came and they got to the point where they were frightened, it was a bad storm. So that's their perspective, and we read it from our perspective, and we think, oh, silly old disciples, they never really know what's going on. But that's just that. I wonder, what about Jesus' perspective? Let me tell you what I don't think was going on. I don't think Jesus was there half asleep with one eye open like a dog, kind of going, well, let's just wait and see how the disciples react to this one. I'm just going to pretend I'm asleep, like sometimes you pretend to sleep when the children come in and you think, no, I'm just going to pretend I'm asleep and hopefully they'll go away. You know, just to see how they react to this. I don't think Jesus was like that. I think Jesus was fully, properly, full on asleep. You know, completely out like a light. Now, the thing is, I want you to consider, the water was sloshing into this boat. It was listing from side to side. And there was a howling wind, no doubt. I tried to have a little nap on the Eurotunnel the other day, in a reasonably comfortable seat. And the children were listening to a Narnia CD. Still very Christian. And very peaceful. I didn't really sleep very well. I mean, how many people have slept well on an aeroplane? Nope. A boat, a car, any kind of journey. In fact, how many people just sleep well anyway? Leslie does. Okay, well, that's good. We'll see you later. You know, you can pray for us. But here is Jesus, and he's out like a light in a boat that's going up and down, side to side. There's winds coming in. There's water possibly even sloshing on his face. I don't know. I mean, and he's asleep like a baby on a cushion. I think I like that little detail. I just imagine him sort of curled up like a cat, you know, sort of there. And I think we get from that that Jesus really knew how to sleep. And you might think, oh, yes, but he was very tired. Yeah, but when you're very tired, do you sleep that well? You know, actually, when I'm really tired is when I sleep worse. Because, like, when I did do that big bike ride a few years ago, and I got back, and I was absolutely exhausted. But at the same time, my mind is whizzing around, kind of thinking, oh, I did this, and I did this, and, you know, there's the excitement. Or if you're tired because there's a lot of stress going on, you don't really sleep that well because of the stress. So actually, I don't know whether that was the case here for Jesus. I mean, the disciples, they wake him, don't they? And that must have taken some doing, right? You know, you've got the storm and the water and the wind and all that kind of thing. Imagine how do you wake this person? If the wind and the waves are not wake... I mean, what did they do? That was some serious face slapping or something. Just, Jesus! Wake up! Throwing coffee at him. And he gets up and he calms the storm and he proves he's God and the winds and the waves obey him. And And I think obviously this is showing the disciples and us that Jesus is God. He can still the waves and calm the storm. But I think as well as that, what he's showing us is he knows how to sleep. He's showing us how to sleep. He's showing us that it is possible, in the midst of all this nonsense that's going on around here, I can sleep, I can rest. Because I'm completely trusting in God, that whatever's going on outside, this is sleep time, I don't need to worry. In the midst of the storm, it's all right to rest. And he's showing us it isn't for us to fix or sort out or whatever it is that we think we need to do, but it's actually God's business. And so Jesus was having a jolly good Sabbath-style rest on that boat, wasn't he? He nodded off and he just thought, well, my day's done. It is finished for me, and I'm just going to leave the rest to God. So whatever happens in this boat, I'm just trusting myself to him, resting in that confidence. It says in Psalm 4, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. He was taking that very, very seriously, as you might expect, wasn't he? Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. He was taking that very, very seriously. Going to leave it over to God. And see, when the disciples woke Jesus, they didn't wake him up to get help, did they? What they did, they woke him up so he could worry with them. You know, because that's what we like to do. We like to share our worries. You know, it's not like Jesus, come and do something. It's like, Jesus, do you not realize that we're worrying here on our own? Come and worry with us. And they were surprised when he stilled the storm. They weren't expecting that. They wake him up to still the storm. They woke him up so they could worry. But if they were, even if they'd been awake, they could have rested. And this is what Jesus was teaching as a sort of a side dish, if you like. But when we're worrying and when we're anxious and when our mind is working overtime, we can just trust in God. And we can rest in him. They weren't resting on the boat. They weren't trusting in God. They were kind of, ah! But Jesus was asleep on the cushion. And they needed to find that good news of resting. And actually, so Jesus made, rather than, he started by making the storm rest. Okay, all right. And hopefully he does that for us from time to time. Okay, right. Okay, you're finding this difficult. So we'll just rest everything else, and then we'll rest you. But they needed to practice that idea of rest, in that Sabbath rest. No doubt they've been taught by the Pharisees how to do Sabbath, but Jesus was teaching them how to rest. So don't be afraid to rest. Rest in God. Don't be afraid to rest on the Sabbath. Don't be afraid to cease from your work. Because Jesus is demonstrating that as he, in that sleep on the boat, that actually there is it is possible just to live in this world with all the stuff that's going on and just say, I'm just going to trust in God and rest. And it's for us to enter into that thing that Jesus opens for us and says, it's good for us. It's good to develop that rhythm. It's good to rest in God and trust in him that he's going to do the work. Rest was made for us. Good for us. Rest shows that we have that trust in God. It's a pattern of being in our lives that says when we're in times of trouble, it's okay, God's with us and he's going to sort it out. It's a pattern that says, I'm going to trust him in strength. I need strength. And it's a pattern in our lives that says, it's not my work, but it's his work. It's a pattern, and I think this is so important that we say, we learn to say this about our own work. It is finished. Now you may think, yeah, but I've still got the painting to do here, and I've got the dusting to do here, and I've got the washing to do here, and I've got this project that works to finish here, and whatever. But let's develop the discipline of just taking a time and a space, as God cut out on that seventh day. He made a space. There was an active thing for him, and he made that space, and he blessed it, and he said it's holy, and it was effectively said it's finished. And as we learn to live in that, then we're living in the gospel. Now, this works. I was thinking, how do I make this practical? And I think it's going to be different for different people. But I think it's good for us to explore ways where we can be deliberately unproductive. in our life. Or we can actually just, now for some of us we could take a whole day, for some of us you may think, okay, 10 minutes. Let's just start with that. You know, because I think, I'm being real, I'm not expecting everybody's going to be able to go, yeah, okay, I'm just going to take the whole day off. That's just going to be more stressful than anything else. Okay? But I am suggesting that we find times in our lives where we can say, I'm going to have a Sabbath space. I'm going to create this space, this time, like God has given to us, and just have rest and be deliberately unproductive and set apart this time just to rest in Him. And not rest so that I can then carry on, but just literally just rest. And it may involve turning off the TV or the radio. It may involve locking your phone in a cupboard because, just, you know, it may involve turning the computer off. It may involve not answering the phone. I don't know. It may involve deliberately going somewhere. You're going to have to work that one out, Fred. So I can't give, because I know what's one thing for Emma is a different thing for Keith, and then different for Ben. But I do know that life works with Jesus. And He has set us free from the business of work, and He has set us free from work. And that we are not defined by what we do, but we are, as we said earlier, the name of Jesus on all of us. And He said, it is finished. And He's given us rest for our benefit. And He's opened a way for us to be restaholics rather than workaholics. Make that an aim in your life. To be a restaholic. I'm not saying to be lazy. There's a difference. I was going to talk about work at some point. But that we would know how to rest and crave that, because most of us would crave to do. I'll finish by reading Psalm 127, which says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. But He grants sleep to those He loves. If nothing else, and I know a lot of us struggle with sleep, let's ask the Lord to invite the Lord into this, and that we may know a deeper rest in our sleep, and trust in the Lord that He is going to do the work, and He has done the work. Let's pray. Lord, I confess myself where I have and continue to strive to work and keep going and keep myself busy and all these things where I at the end of the day I'm probably justifying myself to the world around me and to myself and to you. I confess those things. We confess where we have sought to be active and busy, where you've given us rest to live in. And so, Jesus, we thank you for the rest that is in you. We thank you that you said on the cross, it is finished. And so from a spiritual perspective, the work has been done. I pray let that reality play out in the way we live our lives, that there will be an element of it is finished in our lives. And where we struggle and are anxious to try and do and be and keep going, teach us the way of carving out that time and saying, this is holy, this is blessed, this is rest time. This is deliberately unproductive time. Time just to be. Let us be free people, not slaves. Let us be able to take the day off. Let us be able to take the time off and rest in you. Help us, Lord, because we are weak. Enable us to rest like you rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.